The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
It is the Breakfast Huddle, Elliot Danker and Brian Fernandez with you this Thursday morning. It's been over a month since Indonesia took to the polls with 192 million people eligible to vote. That huge number places Indonesia only behind the United States and India in terms of the size of its national electorate.
Joko Widodo has been redeclared Indonesia's president for a second term. Now, after beating former General Prabowo Subianto once again, The two men also faced off in the 2014 elections, remember, when Widodo won the popular vote by a margin of about 6%. But this time round, there was a much bigger margin win. Widodo won 55.5% of the vote to Prabowo's 44%.
So Prabowo Subianto is set to contest Joko Widodo's win on the grounds of election fraud. He's had 3 days to do it. Subianto also indicated that he would reject the result when the two went head-to-head in the 2014 general election. Widodo's win has also caused violent riots in Jakarta. Overnight, 6 people dead, 200 injured. Our friend from Primetime, their finance presenter JP Ong, spoke to Pinnacle's senior strategist John Rachmat, who thinks that the current account balance is weighing more on Indonesian markets than the protests or the ongoing trade war. Have a listen to their conversation.
The main point being that while the non-oil and gas sector are doing pretty well in terms of delivering trade surplus, the oil and gas sector has suffered a massive deficit. Indonesia was lucky that the oil price actually crashed in December to a low of $45 per barrel. But unfortunately, that oil price has started to creep up again. So if you are talking about WTI, I think it's around $62 per barrel at the moment. And as a result of that creep up, the trade balance, which were pretty looking good, you know, in the first quarter of this year, suddenly swing to a big deficit. So March trade balance was a positive of $540 million. But in May, the trade balance swing to a $2.5 billion trade deficit. That's way beyond what the consensus expected. And the main reason is that Indonesia still has this fuel subsidy, and hence, despite the rising global oil price, the volume consumed has not declined at all. And so, you know, the country has to pay for that much higher cost of importing fuel.
So, JP Ong, of course, thanks very much for sharing with us that clip. Speaking to Pinnacle senior strategist John Rachmat, they were talking about the issues impacting Indonesian markets. Well, this morning, we're going to touch on the political side of things. We've got on the line with us Dr. J. Surajat Jaywandono, Professor of International Economics, S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, NTU, on the line with us. Dr. J., thanks so much for taking the time this morning. How are you today?
I'm okay. Thank you for having me.
I guess first things first, let's get into what did Joko Widodo do right in terms of maintaining his presidency?
Of course, you have already been mentioning that it is not sure yet, okay? Because the opposition is still having, you know, put this issue in the constitutional court. So whether he will be actually having his second term or not is still actually in dispute.
Still not official yet, right?
Yeah, okay, yes. But from what I've been following in the last 4 years, almost 5 years of his administration, some of their perception on the positive side was he was continuing the path of development, concentrating on infrastructure. Those are actually the strong point, which indeed must have some impact on the growth rate. But when you look at, you know, comparing the achievement was, like the growth rate of 5.2 or 5.1%, of course, when you compare to his campaign promise in the 2014, it is different, you know, from 7% to 5%. If you compare to the administration before, 10 years under Bambang Yudhoyono, it's also different. At that time, it was 6.7% for many years, more than 5 years, actually. So that is part of the achievement, as well as some of the notes of the difference between the promise and the performance.
So, Professor, now that the dust has settled, what do you think will be Joko Widodo's next move? Because you did highlight earlier that he has not really achieved the sort of growth numbers that he promised, and also not similar to what he's not achieved the numbers that his predecessor has. Although he has successes, for example, in reducing corruption, also successes in terms of infrastructure. But moving forward, what do you think his next move is going to be?
Again, what I've been reading, they've been announcing about, you know, continuing the development of the infrastructure. They already, the Minister of Planning were already announcing some of the projects, close to $400 billion, which is more than the 5 years before. It was like 350, and now they top up to become 400. And, you know, building airport, building different kind of facilities, that is what I've been following and what I've been hearing. You know, the issue with that is always, how do you finance that kind of things? If we talk about this financing side, the issue lately was that, for instance, on the budget deficit, on the balance of payment deficit, lately it has been increasing instead of decreasing. And that must be the challenge that any new administration has to deal with. It doesn't matter whether it's Joko Widodo or Prabowo Subianto, they have to deal with it. And you already mentioned about the recent development in the world. Everybody, every country right now is very concerned about what will be the end of this saga, the so-called trade war between U.S. and China. You know, it's almost like on and off like a yo-yo. Sometimes ago in December, there's a good prospect that we will have a good solution. And suddenly, boom, there's now raising the tariff, which everybody right now has to sort of watch what will be going on. For us in Southeast Asia, some country seems to be sort of saying, oh, we may get better deal because if the U.S. company will have to pull out from China, Vietnam seems to be the most ready for that. But the others also maybe wanted to have that. But how about our own bilateral relation with the U.S.? I think most countries, Southeast Asia, including Indonesia, has been in better relation. However, it doesn't matter whether we are good or not, but right now the U.S. is more and more unpredictable from the action by President Trump. So those are the kind of things that they also, you know, the new administration has to look at, aside from maybe the legitimacy, when more and more assessment on the process of election itself has been done. There must be some positive and negative things. It's good that it has been done relatively smoothly. Yeah. However, when they also listen to our side, I'm part of the opposition over here, some of the complaint that we have been coming out legally as well as we put it in public has not seems to be heard by the government. And that is not the end of the story. I think the analysis will still be going on. And if he is having the second term, he has to deal with that, you know, I would call it like international legitimacy, because I'm very sure other countries also learning from that, not just reading Jakarta Post or Globe or reading CSIS report, which all of them are very, very pro to the incumbent. So they must have their own also research and study about what has been going on. I guess those are the challenges in the short term, and maybe in the medium term, they already have some plan on continuing the infrastructure, as I said.
All right. Well, Dr. J, thank you very much. We've been hearing the thoughts of Dr. J. Suraja Jivandono, Professor of International Economics, S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, NTU. Dr. J, thank you and have a good day ahead, yeah?
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.